Okay, chapter 59 this morning of Isaiah. I'll begin by reading it. There's some good things. This is a time in Isaiah we're going to start seeing some things change from what we've been talking about earlier. In the remainder of these chapters, we're going to have a different flow of things a little bit, and I'll point that out as we go. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity, they speak lies, they conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. And he that eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper. The webs shall not become garments, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity; for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar like bears and mourn like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. The judgment is turned away backward, and the justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from the transgression of Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now let's go back and break her down a little bit. Okay. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot what? Deliver. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not too short to deliver us. We were saved at the moment that he died on the cross. And he said he was slain before the foundation of the world. So we're not interested in salvation today. We're interested in being delivered from our thinking process. And his hand is his work, okay? Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. It's the word shama. He can hear intelligently with intent to respond positively, can't he? He has that ability. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. They have made a separation between you and your God. See, we've not been separated. Only in our mind do we think that God has left us. That's that deception within, okay? And your sin, and literally it's the word offenses, your offenses have hid his face or his presence from you that he will not hear. You think God won't hear because you feel you're not worthy for him to even talk to you. And the reason you feel that way is because we've been convinced by humanity that we're dirty, rotten sinners. We're no good. And even if we do what they say, maybe or we might receive something from God. Come on, give me a break. God's got a better plan than that. If that's the best plan they got, I don't need their plans. God's got a plan that won't fail. In verse 3 he says, because your hands or your works are defiled with blood. What does he mean defiled by blood? Does he mean that you went out and killed people? Not physically. How many times have we done things that harmed other people to our good, we thought? When we're in the world, how many people go do things every day and they're not concerned about anybody else? They're doing whatever's best for them and the heck with the rest of them. Get all I can get and the heck with everybody else. It's a selfish thought. Absolutely. Selfish thought. Don't you think Cain and Abel, there was a little bit of jealousy and greed involved in that one? And it's still the nature of humanity. It was from the very beginning. It's still there until God deals with it. Till you accept responsibility of you have that problem. As long as you deny it, it'll never change. And your fingers with iniquity, all the things you do, your hands, all your works, they're all in iniquity. They're not for the right reasons. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perverseness. Everyone has been guilty of that, but we don't have to continue in that process, do we? We can get out of it. If he calls us out, we're coming out. None calls for justice, nor pleads truth. The word for shouldn't be there. None pleads truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And I think I want to read that one in the NAS, that verse 4. Let me see.
Sometimes it says they trust in empty words and speak lies.
Pretty close. It says in the New American Standard says, no one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. Talking about going in conflict with someone, rather do it righteously. They will lie and cheat to get their way.
It's all about me.
It's all about the I, me, my, or mine. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. That's pretty well what people do. Yeah, that's the good church folk, right? Because this ain't talking about the world. Verse 5, they hatch cockatrice eggs. That's snake eggs. We know snake speaks of serpent, don't we?
Mine says adder.
Same thing, it's a snake. An adder's a snake. Cockatrice is a snake. And they weave spider's webs. The cockatrice eggs, what is he really trying to convey this thought? Really, you think he's really talking about eggs?
No, he's talking about the thoughts.
He's talking about the thoughts, the serpent thoughts, the demonic thoughts in our minds. Okay? And we hatch them. You know why we hatch them? Because we cultivate them. We sit down and feel sorry for ourselves. We sit and murmur and complain all the time and accuse other people. See?
We think we're right.
See, we're cultivating those eggs. We're protecting. We're keeping. That's my egg of anger and guilt and whatever, all these other things. And keep it. You know, so
incubating.
They're incubating them. There you go. And they weave spider webs. And he that eats of their eggs does what? Well, the word there doesn't say just die. It says dies prematurely. If we stay in that lifestyle, we're not going to have a long life.
You'll keep the carnal mind.
Huh?
You'll keep the carnal mind.
And the carnal mind is?
Death.
And we go on and it says, and that which is crushed, and that's not the right rendering of that word at all. It should say, that which is trodden upon breaks out into a viper. So it's not talking about crushing, although if you walk on an egg, it does crush it, doesn't it? And that's where they're stretching it out there to get it. But it literally says trodden on. If you walk on something in symbolism of the scriptures, what is that talking about?
You overcome.
No. Your lifestyle. if you walk on them, see, it's not talking, what'd you say?
I said overcoming.
No, see, it's not overcoming. It can be that, but that's in this context, it's a negative. You're speaking of the positive one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On the negative side, what you're doing is you're living in that lifestyle.
Saying it's okay.
It's okay to be that snake because this is just business. I can live that lifestyle.
On Sunday,
you can do that as soon as church is out, you can go do that too. But that's the way you justify it in your mind. And we know...
So this is not actually crushing that lifestyle. You're living it.
You're living the lifestyle. Because the word isn't crushed. It's trodden on. That which is trodden on breaks out into a viper. So if you live the lifestyle of a snake, what are you going to cultivate and bring forth?
Snakes.
So you're going to have the nature and character of the snake. So it's going to bring that viper out. Verse 6 says, their webs shall not become a garment or a covering. Okay? Neither shall they conceal themselves with their works. And a lot of them try to hide themselves. But you know, when you're living that life as a serpent that you've created, do you really think you're going to hide yourself in those works?
No, you just shine up the outside.
But it'll still show through, won't it? It'll still show through. Put pressure on you and it'll come out. Step on a snake and see what it does to you. Makes me think about that song about the woman that takes a snake in, warms it up by the fire because it was cold, and she come back in, started to pet the snake, and he bit her, and she was dying. She said, why did you bite me for? He said, you knew I was a snake when you brought me in. I don't know who wrote that song, but it was cute. It's truth in it. It says, their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their what? Their hands can mean several things. It can be works or it can be power. So within their power or their works is violence, isn't it? And there's so many people that go to church every Sunday, and I mean, they jump up and slap you in the face so quick, you wouldn't know what happened. You know, they'll fight you, they'll lie to you, they'll curse you, just all these things, you know, and it shouldn't even be there. God love their heart, right? And we know what that means. Okay, verse 7, it says, and their feet run to evil. Their lifestyle is quick to do what? To do evil things. It's not about their feet, it's their lifestyle. And they make haste or they hurry to shed innocent blood. That means they're not making righteous judgment. They want to just make a quick decision. They want to be right. They don't care. They want to be right rather than getting the truth out. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. What's that path mean?
Course.
It's their course of life or way of life. So wasting and destruction is in their course of life. That's all they're going to do. I know people that are very, very productive, but their life is nothing but total destruction, and everything they get is destroyed soon after they get it. They never get ahead of the game. They're always making lots of money, but they never go anywhere. I mean, lots of money. I mean, tens of times more than we make in a year, 100 times more than we make, and they still tend to, they got nothing. And they got junk. It's amazing. It's amazing. Verse 8, the way of peace, what's that word way again mean? It's a course of life or the lifestyle. The lifestyle of peace, they know not. See? Well, they're running and living in another lifestyle. They can't. A double-minded man, you can't live two ways, can you?
He doesn't know the way.
That's what I'm saying. He can't do it because he's sold out on the other one. The lifestyle of peace they know not, and there is no justice in their what? What's your book say? There's no justice in their...
It says ways.
It says goings or ways. But here's what it literally says. The Greek word there says circular path. Mm-hmm. See, because they keep spinning their wheels right in the same place.
Insanity.
They never go anywhere, huh?
It's
insanity. They keep repeating the same thing, expecting to get better. You know, like the guy that went from Detroit down to Georgia and bought some watermelons. He bought them for a dollar, brought them back and sold them for a dollar, and he said, we're going to have to get a bigger truck. Insanity, huh? They have made them crooked paths. Who made their life crooked?
They did.
They made their paths crooked. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace. As long as you're struggling in your lifestyle, guess what? Didn't say you won't have tough times, but you don't have to struggle in it, do you? You can walk into confidence that God's got everything in control and don't worry about it. Some of the hardest things, and I shared that this weekend with some people, and I said, you know, you don't realize the hardest thing for humans to do is nothing. And I said, I'm getting a little better at it.
Well, so if you only do what Father tells you, he's not telling you to do anything.
Yeah, no problem.
You're not doing nothing.
You can do whatever you want to until he wants you. I'm on call 24/7. If he calls me and wants me, I have no issue with it. I get up in the middle of the night and do something, that's fine. But if he's not telling me to do something, I can do anything I want to, can't I? And God's okay with that. He just wants you to obey him. He said, my sheep hear my voice. So when I hear Father pulling me to do something, then I have no issue about laying it down and going on. Just whatever I'm doing, just lay her down and go on. And that's the one he wants us to do. Just be obedient. Just be ready. When I need you, I'll call you. Go ahead and enjoy yourself. When I need you, I'll let you know about it. You don't have to go work up something. Like this morning, I guarantee there's all kinds of them out there working it up in a lather, trying to do something for God. And the greatest thing you can do is just obey him. And if he's not talking to you, then go ahead. And if he is talking, you ought to shut up and listen to him. Forget about your doings this morning. I could call that doo-doo, but you know that's what it is. Verse 9. Therefore is judgment or justice far from us. Justice is far from us because of the things we do. God didn't say, hey, I'm doing this to you, did he? He let you know, you're doing it to yourself. I've given you the way, I've given you the ability, and you still choose to go the other way. So many people want to fit into the crowd of the church. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in fitting in the crowd of the church. I want to fit in where my Father wants me. Whatever it is, wherever it is, that's okay.
Kind of going against the flow, then, huh?
It would be kind of going against the flow. That's exactly what it would be. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light or illumination. See, we're waiting on illumination, but behold, obscurity. And obscurity here speaks of ignorance or darkness. So we're looking for brilliance, illumination, but we don't get it. Wonder why? Let's go back. If you go back and read them first 8 verses, you'll figure out why. Why we don't get it. We're still trusting in ourselves to do it. And that's it. We're waiting for brightness or brilliancy, but we live in darkness or duskiness. See, we're saying we're waiting on the light to come, but we're living in darkness instead of walking out of the darkness into the light. We can easily do that if God's calling us there, but we still want to sit and hold on to the religious ways which keep us in darkness. What in religion have they ever taught you that was correct? I can find nothing. I can find nothing. Because I'm not just saying words, but when someone's telling me something, they got to be that something. If they're going to be righteous, then I want to see righteousness in you. I want to see your acts of righteousness. If you're holy, let me see some holiness in you, because I don't see it in the church. I see people saying things, but not walking it. And if they're not walking it, then they're just telling me words. I could get a parrot and set him up on the pulpit, and he could say the same words. And it wouldn't work for him either, would it? They don't work for me when they do that. I know they're trying. There's a whole bunch of people out there that's sincere, but they've been misled by the false prophets. Yeah. Yeah, they've been misled, and so they think that's what they're doing is right.
When you think about that carpenter's eggs, someone had to lay them there.
Sure.
They took it with them from, you know.
You laid your own eggs. You didn't have to get it from nobody else. Okay, verse 10 says, we grope for the wall. And it literally says the wall of a trench. Kind of like a grave or a big, big deep ditch. Like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. Well, we have no vision. And that's where the church is. They're groping for anything. People are running to church because of the economy. The church isn't the answer. God's the answer.
My people perish for lack of
knowledge of God. And that's why they're perishing. They're not concerned about that. They're concerned about going to church, and I'll give you some money if God will give it back to me 100-fold like a church tells them most of the time. See? It said, we stumble at noonday. Do you know what noonday represents? The brightest light we have, the greatest illumination we have, and that's where we are today. We're standing in the noonday of this third day. We're in this noonday revelation. We understand there's a great light here, but we're not acting like it. We're standing, he said, we stumble in the noonday, the best light we have, as if in the night or twilight. It's still dark. You know why? Because we still got that garbage in our head from religion about someday it's going to happen. Someday is now. See, we're still thinking two different paths here. And when you come to a forks of a road, you can't walk both of them at the same time.
No, can't be in two places.
Can't be there. So you can't go two different courses at the same time. It'll split you in two. We are in desolate places. And when it says desolate places, it's not correct. We are among, it should say this, we are among the strong. Okay, that word desolate places, I don't know where they got that at, but we are among the strong as dead men. The strong, you know.
The strong is Christ in you.
Yeah, we're among the strong, but we're like dead men. We're not accomplishing anything. Dead people don't accomplish anything. They just stink, don't they? They don't accomplish anything. They just lay there and stink. And that's where the church has been. And that was one of the things that I saw in my walk with through the church. The church never changed. The only thing changed was the people in the church. And most of the time, the people don't change. Because they figure, I'm saved and that's all I got to do. I'm waiting on the bus. You know, no one ever changed.
If you change, you go to the church.
Huh?
If you change, you go to the
church. If you change, you'll leave that church. I guarantee you. Verse 11, it goes on and says, we roar like all like bears and mourn sore like doves. Bears represent the ferociousness of the world. We all act like worldly people. If we're of the world, he said we're not of this world, didn't he? We're in it, but we're not of it. And we mourn like sore like doves, murmuring and complaining all the time. Wah, wah, wah. We look or expect justice, but there is none. The world ain't fair. Life isn't fair, it just is. Whatever it is, that's what you've got to deal with. There's nothing fair about life, not in this realm. But it is afar off from us. Salvation or deliverance is afar off from us. We can't get delivered. You know why? Because we're living in the darkness. We're in that trench of religion, acting like we're blind, and we're really not.
If you're groping to find your way in the small things, you sure ain't going to find deliverance.
If you can't get out of the grave line, how are you going to ascend into the heavenlies? Verse 12 says, because our transgressions or rebellions are multiplied before you, and our offenses testify against us, because our rebellions are what? Let's do it the right way. They're in or within us. Transgressions are not external. Offenses are not external. They're in your head. You make a decision to do something. Everyone in this world has the Spirit of God in them, whether they're aware of it or not. Even when you're a child, you know whether to do right or wrong. Because the Spirit of God is in you, you're not aware of it. And then even if you were aware of it, before you're very old, the church is going to convince you that you don't have the Spirit of God in you unless you say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and baptize me. That's not the truth. I'm not knocking someone being baptized. I'm just saying those are not prerequisites for God loving you. They've made them into something they want to do so they can control you. But anyway, they're within us. Our problems are inside of. That's why we need deliverance from within us. That deliverance is where it's in us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. Verse 13 goes on and says, in rebelling and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and what? Well, the word revolt's not really revolt, it's apostasy. See, just getting lukewarm about everything, letting it go. Who cares? No big deal. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehoods. Where were they conceived? In your minds, absolutely. From your minds. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, because truth is fallen in the street or the plaza, and equity cannot enter. The word equity here is the word integrity. Integrity cannot enter in. Well, if there's no justice or truth, you're sure not going to have integrity, are you? Verse 15, it goes on and says, yes, truth fails. Do you think that's a correct statement?
No.
It's not. Mistranslation. Didn't want to shock you, but it's mistranslated. It should say, yes, truth is lacking. I mean, truth isn't resident in you when that's going on.
It says truth is nowhere to be found.
Same thing. It's there, but this ain't found. And he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. Did you hear that? See, the people that think that going to church is going to make their life easy, that's when all hell breaks loose. And when you realize that the church system, mama hasn't got anything to feed me anymore. At the best, she had a little bit of milk, but ma, I've grown some teeth. I want some meat. I'm a carnivore there. I want some meat. And it says, you make yourself a prey. When you leave that system, you're outnumbered. And they become the vicious ones that come after you. See? You're nothing but a prey to them. They're the predators. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. See? Even though you did the right thing, you're following God, you getting beat up, God says, that ain't right. I don't like that. It displeased him. Well, you know, I wouldn't want to be in the place of somebody that was displeasing God, you know, because life's going to come back and eat you. That's just the way it is. You reap what you sow. God's not doing it, but you're going to bring it back on yourself. And he saw that there was no man or no human and was appalled. Not wondered, but he was appalled. Do you think God really had any struggle with thought that he was wondering about something? He was appalled that there was no intercessor or none to reach the mark, is what it should say. Where it says no intercessor, there was none to reach the mark. God was appalled that there was no one that could reach up to the mark that he had set.
Kind of sounds like in the gospel when he said, could you stand with me for an hour?
Could you pray with me for an hour in the garden? Yeah, sure. He said there was none to reach the mark. Therefore, his arm or his strength brought what? Deliverance to him. And his righteousness, it sustained him. Just like when King David was in the Old Testament in Kings, or Samuel, one of the kings, he said, when there was no one to encourage David, he encouraged himself. That was Christ. When there's no one to encourage you, you've got to encourage yourself. You can't wait on someone to do it for you, can you? If you do, you're in trouble. There's no one to help you.
Because there's no man.
See? Only the Christ is the one that can help you. I get excited when I talk about this stuff. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I just can't help it. Because he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Who do you think put on the breastplate? We're not talking about Jim Bob or Joe or Henry or somebody. We're talking about the Christ. He put on the breastplate, okay, and a helmet of salvation or deliverance upon his head. And he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and he's clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, doesn't that sound like Ephesians 6? Put on the whole armor of God. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The sword, take up the sword, the helmet, the breastplate, and all that. Same thing, isn't it? Being reiterated back there. It's Ephesians 6, 9 through 17.
And it wasn't for war, it was for deliverance.
It was for deliverance. The war is internal, not external. Okay. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemy. And those two words right there, adversaries and enemies, should be singular. His adversary and his enemy. So you only have one adversary or enemy, and it's your own thinking process. To the islands, or the isolated ones, he will repay recompense. So shall they fear. Do you think God wants you to fear?
Reverence.
It's reverence. See, they want you to revere him. So shall they revere the name or the nature and character of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. What is that saying? How did the day start in Genesis? The evening and the morning. That's the Lord's day. In evening, and the morning. Evening was when it's going into darkness, and then it come back into the light. Not starting in the morning and then going into darkness. Backwards from what people think. But he had that way, and it's the same process. He put that all on, and he said they will revere his nature and character, starting from the west to the east, or from the morning, the evening, into the darkness and back into the light. And that's our process. We came out in a little bit of darkness in the evening, and we went into total darkness, and now we're coming back to the light. That's just the way it is. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. The enemy. We're not talking about somebody with a sword. Okay? He'll lift up a flood. What kind of flood do you think is going to destroy the enemy?
The
Word of God. We pour out that Word into us, it's going to wash away. A flood really cleanses a lot of things. People don't realize, you go after a flood and see what happens, just like a fire. It's a cleansing. It'll clean these hollers and valleys out, won't it? Have a nice flash flood. It'll all get buried down in the bottom of the rivers and rot up and become nutrients that come back to the bottoms and produce great things.
That's when the enemy shall come in,
mm-hmm,
like a flood of spirit.
Yep.
No,
you know, I know I've said that in the past, but I don't see it that way now. I had that deposited in me from someplace else. I didn't change that and put that comma back there. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, he'll raise up. Now, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. Guess what the standard really is?
The cross.
It's the cross. It's the crucifixion. It's all there. It's a finished deal before the foundation of the world. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Notice he didn't say you was going to come to Zion. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. Do you know why? Think about it. Why would he say the Redeemer, the Christ, will come to Zion? Why would he say that?
Because the blood cleansed it out. He's going to go to your mind.
Exactly right. Lisa got it right. He's coming to you. You don't have the ability to go to him. You are this here. You are Zion. And he'll go into the mind and cleanse it.
Well, that's what I meant when the flood, the word.
Yeah.
When you start doing the word, the Christ.
Yeah. But he said that that's the Redeemer, what will redeem you. He'll come to Zion. That's the highest mountain in Jerusalem, right? Ophel, Moriah, and Zion. And to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, so when you turn from your natural ways of doing things like Jacob was, the trickster, supplanter, the used car salesman, you know, saith the Lord. Now this next verse is powerful to me. It says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. Now this is God making a covenant with who? Your name should be there. See? My spirit that is upon you, he said, should be in you. And my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. That's a promise. He said, what I put in you, it's never going to depart you.
That
is a covenant by God. He didn't say, if you do this, I'll do that. He said, this is my covenant with you. If I put this in you, it'll stay there. It's eternal. Watch the rest of it. Nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, henceforth and forever. And what it literally says is, now until Olam. Now until Olam. Throughout the ages.
Longer than forever.
Longer than you can ever think of. Whatever I have put in you will not depart. It's eternal. I'll just use the word eternal. I don't care whether anybody likes it or not. It's the word, I'm just saying, it's never going to leave you. If it never leaves you, how else could you see it but eternally? It's eternal. And I just wrote in my book, this is a promise. And I know it. And I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. I like them. Any questions?